they can wait.
No, plebs. Pop culture has a Stonecutters ring on pre-order, apparently. I'm like, why the fuck don't we have a Stonecutters ring?
The throttling of the ass.
You don't know.
A little Z symbol?
Yeah, want it.
It's a little bit louder than what I expected.
We out here. We out here. We do it.
If it's recording,
we triple parked.
It's not. You didn't press record.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Nerds of Oz, coming to you from the Fortress of Nerditude. Sorry, I didn't mean to be exclusive there. Not just ladies and gentlemen, everybody, because nerds are for everybody. I'm here with Shane. He's back again.
Hello.
What's that? A couple of episodes in a row.
Yes. I didn't get booted.
Good thing you're not getting paid for this, because you...
I'm still in the lobby.
Yeah, exactly. Josh.
Hey.
And Nicole's dropped in with us this week
Woo!
As well.
Hello.
Shane's replacement. Welcome. This must be awkward.
So awkward, just sitting across the table.
It's terrible when you meet the ex, isn't it?
Nicole, drink your cruiser. Cheers, mate. Cheers, mate.
Oh, sorry.
Well, there it is.
Oh.
There it is.
Oh, went everywhere.
How's everybody going this week?
Yeah.
Tired.
Yeah, so Josh and I are pretty tired.
I'll just give a heads up. All four of us work in retail, and it's very close to Christmas. And so it's apocalypse inside shopping centres.
And outside.
And then you go outside, and because of the bushfires in New South Wales, it's apocalypse outside the shopping centre.
Apocalypse
now. I thought you were going to say now for both of those.
No. That would be too obvious.
Josh hasn't seen it.
Yeah. Haven't you seen Apocalypse Now?
What the fuck?
Have you not seen Apocalypse
yes,
Now?
Yes, I have. That's what I was trying to reference.
When did you see it?
Oh, yeah. I've totally seen this.
Who's seen Apocalypse earlier?
Huh? It's someone with the orange cover.
Who is the director?
Fuck, I don't know. Some dude.
Francis Ford Coppola.
Going to sit here quietly.
Oh, my name's Shane.
You've never seen it?
No.
Wow.
Fucking love Francis Ford Coppola.
Hey, that's Nicolas Cage's uncle.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah,
let's not diss
so,
him.
Soundbite that.
It's Shane.
Sounded like
so.
Patty Mayonnaise.
Yeah. Dog, stop.
So, Shane, what have you been up to? Just work.
Sorry. Yeah, work. Yeah.
And Josh, what have you been up to?
More work.
Yeah.
And Nicole?
Slowly dying inside at work.
Okay.
At work.
It's just the cruiser.
Yeah.
It's been in there for a while.
Paid to do that.
Yeah, so we're going to do something interesting today because we're so close to the silly season.
Ooh, a live firing. Sounds fun.
I've got Shane's pink papers here.
I'm
going
to build this fucker soon.
No, we're actually going to celebrate the 12 days of nerdness. And what we're going to do is that four of us have each picked three things that we think are...
Yep, that equals 12, four times
three.
Yeah,
that's three. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Shane's just indicating to me with his hands, which is three.
Been watching too much Countdown.
Yeah.
I can only count in beer term.
4 times 3 equals 12.
So what we've done is we've each picked three things that we think are, I guess, kind of essential stuff that people should have in their collection. And sometimes it's not always obvious. Like, it's easy to say, oh, you should have a collection of the first six issues of Spider-Man, or you should have whatever. But occasionally it's sort of worthwhile looking outside that, because you occasionally with comics, I find, particularly with comics and with books too, you find that you get stuck reading just one author or just one thing. So one of the reasons we've got Nicole here is because the three of us will probably just go straight for comics or manga, and Nicole will at least spread our wings a little bit more literary.
Hustler.
Hopefully.
Putting a lot of pressure on my book choices now. Yeah. Jeez.
More sophisticated. She can read without pictures. Oh,
yeah. Don't you worry. This pink slip here, I haven't put the name on it. So it's Shane or you that go after today.
Yay!
I've got plenty of other podcasts to go to. I don't.
Please don't leave me.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So has anybody been doing it? Like, do we want to have a bit of a quick chat about some of the trailers that we've watched recently?
Yes.
Okay. So,
yes is an acceptable answer.
Let's start with Black Widow. We just watched it. We were eating some.
I'll start with what I said. She dead.
So Shane, you're not a fan, so you don't care.
Just skip me.
I'm really excited, but I'm also not excited because it's one of those movies where it's like they've shown. It's like a Netflix trailer where they've already shown the ending, and it's like I know how it ends. So,
what do you mean they've shown the ending?
Well, she's dead.
But they've said that this takes place after Endgame.
Huh? No. What? It takes place between the 3 to 4 years between Civil War. The gap between when they weren't lined up with Tony and Cap.
Pretty sure she's dead.
It's a combination of prequel stuff, like her childhood and like the Red Room, and then like the gap between Cap's team and stuff.
My thing is just going to be,
I
like,
hope it is, but
how, like, is it going to justify how we don't know any, like, what happened to this family that there's going to be a whole movie about, and then nothing.
It's like she's dead, and it's like, oh, but now we've got a new Black Widow with a White Widow, or blah, 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 blah.
Do you think that that's why they've introduced this other character who's her sister?
It's Rachel Weisz, though, so.
No, the other girl.
I wasn't paying attention.
Okay.
Harper?
Hawkeye.
He looks damn nice in that suit. Squeeze him into it.
Oh, Hopper.
Let me tell you something. Ladies,
he can take care of.
Ladies love a fat man with a beard in latex. Just saying. What are you, the fuck? What the fuck are you laughing at? Yeah.
Where's your suit?
She needs to finish drinking that cruiser.
Yeah.
So then we went to, and this is one that I'll check out of, and you'll probably check out of as well. We looked at.
Well, that was quick. Sorry, Black Widow.
Yeah, well there's not really much to say. She's
it's a teaser. It's a teaser.
Yeah, it didn't really tell us much.
No, it's intriguing.
Yeah. Yeah, Keen. I think that.
She looks old.
Robert Downey Jr.'s in it too. They want Iron Man in it. I don't know, and I'm
in everything.
I know, and I agree. I liked how they tied it up, and I don't want to see him in this, but I feel like they really have to bring the star power to really go, hey guys, I think they really have to shoehorn
him in. Which is sad, because it's like Scarlett Johansson is a fucking powerhouse.
If she had had a sequel film before she died,
in real life, this before
solo
she
film,
died, yeah.
Yeah, I would have been fucking stoked for it.
Yeah, but now it's kind of like.
They could have had that between Civil War, where she's doing her own thing, like trying to bring the team back together, and it would have been perfect.
It could have been like the Blues Brothers. Trying to get the band back together.
Yeah. Would have been fine. But now it's like...
Sorry, I burped and there's like bubbles in my nose.
No one heard it, but now we know.
You do you.
Yeah.
You do you.
Thanks for coming to Cole and dropping the class level of this classless show.
I'm classy as fuck, man.
Okay, fart competition by the end of this episode, I'm sure.
We drink Pure Blondes on this podcast.
Yeah, I think it's a weird... I think that Scarlett Johansson deserves to have a solo movie like this, and
absolutely.
She's got enough star power to do it. And it's certainly going to be better than Captain Marvel, because Captain Marvel was 50 Shades of Clusterfuck.
Whoa, you can't shit on a movie with female lead.
You watch me shit on Captain Marvel. That thing was dog's breakfast. And she came back to Endgame just because the event... She was like Superman in Justice League. The Avengers were too piss weak to beat Thanos, and it's like, oh, here I am. I smashed the ship. There you go.
They could have beat him.
No.
They didn't need her.
No.
They so totally did.
No.
They needed her. All she had to do was put the glove on, take it up. That's it.
They needed a fucking team leader to be like, nope. Yo, this is delegation. This is how we're going to do shit. They just said, it's like going, open the doors and no one's going to plan for anything. It's like, oh, shit, we should have planned for this.
That movie sucked.
They could have just said,
3,000.
You do this, you do this, you do this. No problem. Sick. And beat his ass real quick.
I still think that the reason that that movie did so well, that Captain Marvel did so well, was because it was shoehorned and everybody thought that they had to see it before Endgame.
Yeah.
And when you saw
that's
Endgame,
why they put it in
you're like, oh,
so
it's
totally.
Not
we had a lot. We had a lot of people come into our store and ask us for Captain Marvel when it was still at the movies. Like, I have to watch it before Endgame.
Yeah.
Go to the movies. That's cool, man. Where can I torrent it? No.
Asking the person at the DVD place, where can I torrent a film? How about a www go fuck yourself.
Hold on, right here.
/ you're a fucking idiot. Exactly. So then we looked at the Mulan trailer.
Oh, yeah, dude. Skip me.
Yeah, okay. Skipping Shane again, and I don't really have to say much because it's one of my three worst Disney films.
You want to bottle me?
Yeah. Fuck you, man.
Yes.
So Shane, you can go outside for a bit. Go back on your cruise and take your opinion.
Don't touch my Disney.
So I'm going to say that it was extraordinarily beautiful trailer.
Yes.
Yep, stop there.
Okay.
Yep, we'll keep talking.
Go on. So
that was it.
Let the Disney freaks chat about this.
Yes, sir.
Wow.
We'll sit in.
No. I'm super keen. Like, everyone's like, oh, it's not like a fucking musical and Mushu's not in it.
No Mushu.
I'm like, cool. If you want the musical and you want your goddamn Mushu, go watch the original. Like, it's not, you know, deleting it from existence. If you want that version, go watch it.
Thank you for saying that, Nicole.
Yeah.
It's the thing that she's
like the same with Lion King.
I don't want the same movie with real people.
Yep.
Like,
Lion King.
Lion King and Aladdin.
It's
like, they're okay.
I liked Aladdin.
I don't need them. If I want that story, I'll go watch the original. So I'm glad that this one is more based on. It's supposed to be based on more the legend of Mulan.
Okay,
I read.
Was she a real person?
I don't understand I've never seen it.
I
so do
feel
you want,
like at least again, everyone's it's a real or if something? You believe.
All right, Nicole, yeah. Nicole, 30-second plot, hit me. I've never seen Mulan.
What?
Yeah. Go. Yeah, sell me on
can
it.
Can I send Shane my used to work in the judging you?
Yes. Yeah. You had to do 15-15.
Well, what you can do is explain the plot, but start it off with listen, fuckwit. Yeah. And then explain the plot.
Throw the bottle cap at me when you're doing it. Yeah.
So Mulan kills the Joker.
Thank you, Nicole.
And then Batman wasn't strong enough, so Mulan had to go take on all of China by herself. There you go.
How about somebody who knows what they're talking about?
Seriously, is that really the story?
Yeah, the Joker. No.
Yeah, definitely.
Don't you pretend she's a boy to fight in a war?
Yeah. Basically, all the men in the village and the country get called to war, and
conscription.
Her dad, you know, she's his only daughter, so he doesn't have a son, so he's going to go off and fight war. So instead, she steals his sword and his weapons and whatnot.
She cuts her hair.
Cuts her hair off, pretends to be a guy, and enters into the army.
Enters the dragon.
Yeah.
Okay. Good sell.
Good sell, yeah.
And they have a 6-song number called Make a Man Out of You. Damn, everyone gets trained real quick after that.
Yep.
They take on all training they montage. Take on the Huns.
Isn't Make a Man Out of You from Rocky Horror Picture Show?
No, I don't know. I don't care for shit movies. Shane's triggered. I've got his
trip
tonight.
Who was just triggered then? Seriously, stop bringing it to me, dude.
Don't say anything about Grease.
Anything musical. That's Shane's kryptonite. You open up the little box and it's like musicals.
I'll walk out if someone fucks with Grease.
I can't believe Sandy changed for a man.
It's Danny Zuko though, so.
Yeah.
He's more than a man.
You do it.
Yeah.
I'd change for him.
Fucking hate you, Josh.
These mics can pick up anything.
They what? Except for Nicole's burp.
Yeah. Except for that.
Well, I guess we'll listen back to it later and we might hear it. So the last trailer we watched was the new Bond trailer.
And I'm just going
to take... He got paid a lot of money to come back to do that.
Yeah. He did not want to do this.
He did not.
Then don't fucking do it. Like, if you're not doing it on moral grounds, oh, here's a butt ton of money. Oh, I guess I can do it.
I don't know. I'd do a lot of things for a lot of money.
Yeah. I'd do some pretty shit things for not much money, to be quite honest.
Oh, it'd have to be a lot for me, but there you go. Draw the line somewhere, right?
Yeah, this has got to be his last one, though, because he's been Bond for...
Yeah, then he's going to die. Yeah, so what they're going
to... Ever since Casino Royale, yeah.
They'll kill him off, and then he'll regenerate, and he'll come back as the female...
Dr. Bond.
Oh. Have you not seen what they're doing in the trailer? There's another 00.
Yeah, but the 007 is something that you're given. It's the license to kill. So anybody can be a 007. Yeah. They can do a film called...
There's the other girl in it. She will take over for him. I'm calling it now.
Juanita Picklemouth 007. You know, anybody can be a 007. And that does seem to be... As long as they don't give her the name James Bond or something silly like that.
That will happen.
That's just...
It'll be Jeanette Bond.
Janelle Bond. G'day, my name's... And she's Australian. G'day, my name's Janelle. Got a license to kill.
Please come in with me, or I'll have to put you in some cuffs.
What sort of gun's that? Well, for PPK. Nice.
Have you met my friend? He's a crocodile. Get him, Rex.
Anyway, and we're pretty close to Star Wars as well.
Boo!
Keen!
So, Keen?
Keen.
Keen?
Yeah.
I was trying to get the sound bite that said boo, but, you know.
Don't waste it.
Oh, hang on.
Hey!
No. We're just booing you now. Yeah. That's what that was.
No!
That is your one done for that episode.
Hold on. My opinion is just that. It's an opinion. No, the last few have been all over the place.
Well, I mean, Force Awakens was the best remake of the first Star Wars film.
I really enjoyed that one.
I liked Rogue One. Good. Yeah.
Started watching it.
I love Rogue One.
Rogue One was great.
I started watching it. It was good.
You haven't finished watching Rogue One?
Wow. No, I started watching The Simpsons.
Wow.
I mean, if you're going to stop afraid of things.
Yeah, Simpsons is pretty good.
Simpsons is pretty fucking good.
You know, it is good though, Mandalorian. I'm not a Star Wars person, but that's a fun watch.
If Disney would fucking start working... Like, it's so buggy right now.
Are you having bugs?
I've watched 2 episodes out of 4, and I'm trying to watch all
How's
of
your
them.
Disney Plus going, Josh?
I don't have it, because I've heard a lot of people are getting hacked.
Yep.
Right. But your sister's got it, yeah?
Not anymore.
She did get hacked.
What's your name?
Shit.
Oh, shit.
You
got
it, Nicole? Now you've got internet, you've got it.
I know, like a proper fucking adult with internet.
Yeah, but she's having
now.
The same problems I am with the...
Yeah, it was like bugging out last night.
Yeah.
I'm an adult. I can do what I want.
I'm sort of binging Grey's Anatomy right now.
Oh, so good.
Fucking good show, man.
Yep.
Meredith Grey is one of the worst actresses, though.
Well, the thing is, though, so, like, I went to the US.
I messaged Kirby. I'm like, Kirby, we're proud of you.
Yo, mate.
I got hooked on American Netflix because I have so much more. And then I came home, lost about a week without it, bought myself a VPN. So
you got the VPN.
Yeah, so Nord I can finish Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah. Well, it just dropped on Stan, so I'm like,
what's a VPN?
It's like international, like...
It's like my computer pretending it's in America, so I have access
to
it.
Oh, hide what you TV. Look at.
Oh, well, I've got that.
That and security.
That's how nobody knows I'm always on Pornhub. Oh,
shit.
Yeah, that's what they're for.
Where's the edit button? What do you think I bought a VR unit?
that's risky.
I can just sit on the train.
It's risky, though.
What's this action? I'm cleaning my sword.
Yeah. Well, this is just it. You've got to hold both of these controllers, so you can't do anything else anyway.
No. Did you want to touch my Joy-Con? Way back on like the Today Show with like Hal and Lisa, and they were playing like Wii or something, and if you didn't know they were doing a certain kind of movement. With
they're shaking in the controller.
I'll just indicate that the hand motion that Nicole made was the shaker weight. Having a wank motion.
Oh, well, the one where they're doing this?
Yeah. And everyone's watching this, you know, morning show, 8 in the morning, just meaning.
All these old people in the morning going, whoa, what is this?
What a waste of a wank.
Yeah. Side note, Nicole put that cruiser down pretty quickly. There's another one down the bottom as well if you want it. Maybe. Yeah.
Flavor is it?
Raspberry.
Strawberry.
It looks like it's going to come up that later.
Yeah.
If there's like
stains everything
pink
red,
everywhere in the bathroom later.
Great.
That's me.
Great. You have to hose out the fortress.
God damn it. But you signed up for being friends with me.
Yeah, this is true.
You knew what you were getting into being my friend.
Yeah, looking at you too, actually. Josh, you're the only one I don't have to clean up after, which is great.
Yay.
Yet.
I wear a bib.
You don't have sauce either.
Yeah.
So that keeps you clean.
Less mess.
Yeah, so it's going to be an interesting couple of months as far as movies are concerned. I think this has got to be the make or break for Star Wars, right? Like Mandalorian.
Oh, yeah.
Is Mandalorian selling itself on how good the show is? Or is it because this child Baby Yoda thing?
No, fuck that off. I don't care about that. I'm not a Star Wars person, but this is a really fun show.
It is. It's really good. Look, it's had a couple of episodes. Like the second episode, I was like,
there's only four.
Which was the second episode?
He was fighting Jawas. And no, that's when Yoda started using the Force. He started using the Force.
I know, but the whole episode was, oh no, Jawa stole shit from my ship. I've got to go fight this beast, get an egg, come back.
It's like a rhino.
It was like 40 minutes of just that. That line there summed up the whole 40 minutes. And I'm like, okay.
Interesting thing about this, and it's something about, what's his name? John Favreau?
Yeah.
John Favreau writes video game stories. So his thing is always...
That makes
sense. He went and got the objective, he brought it back, he got the reward.
To achieve this, you need to do this so you can get that.
Yeah,
and then
that
you can
makes
move
sense
to
now.
The next
part. Did no one hear that noise at the end of when you got the egg?
Wait, so to achieve happiness, you need to open up a food truck, make sandwiches, then you get happiness.
Yeah.
God damn
it.
Yeah, well, you
have
to work with Scarlett Johansson.
Chef is amazing.
Oh, so
and Scarlett Johansson's in it.
Yeah, right?
And RDJ's in it.
It's a
Robert Downey Jr.
The Avengers. Yeah. Do the Avengers get a
watched it?
Yeah.
I thought you said RTJ, and I was like, who the fuck's RDJ?
He's that guy from Dumbler.
It's RDJ! What up? It's Twitch stream, motherfucker. Whatever. Yeah. Anyway, so we might stop just rambling.
18 minutes of it's just
18
being
minutes
weird.
Of rambling, and we might go into our books. So we'll just take a quick break while the system cools down.
What are books?
And we'll go.
Fuck you, man.
What is crying? We'll be
Siri, what is crying? Shane, we will not touch you there.
Okay, so what we're going to do this week is that we've all picked three things that we think are sort of nerd essentials. So I guess these are ideas if you're a nerd and you've got a friend who's a nerd and you want to find something that's out of the box to broaden their horizons a little bit, or if you just think that it sounds cool and you want to buy it for yourself. These are just some ideas that we had. It's very easy just to throw some of the obvious stuff out there, and I guess we'll find out what we've done, but we'll go from here. Let's open with Shane. We'll work our way around to Nicole because she's not got a notepad, which means she's written something
down. Oh, I'm winging
it. So she's winging it, and you don't have a notepad either, Josh.
Do I need a notepad?
Do you?
Well, was not. I, that one last time? It was super intimidating.
Was I told I needed to bring a notepad?
No, but you normally do.
I can get one now, and it doesn't have anything on it.
It's a serious podcast we're trying to run here.
People can't see us, goddammit!
Yeah. Okay, Shane, give us a heads up. What's your number one?
Whoa, I'm going backwards though.
What's your shittest pick?
Well, just do it.
Okay.
Fucking
hell. Number 12. The bottom of the barrel.
I'm going with Daredevil Born Again, written by Frank Miller and art by David Mazzucchelli. This was one of the first Daredevil ones that I actually started reading. Got me really into it. It's been put into the Daredevil TV show that is on Netflix. It is, I think it was done in 1986. It was right at the time where he was doing Dark Knight Returns as well. So he was still at Marvel when he did this, obviously. And then after this, he went over to DC to do DKR. So it follows Karen Page, the former secretary of Nelson and Murdoch. Of Foggy Nelson, obviously, and Matt Murdock, and she actually leaves to pursue an acting career. In that time, she actually becomes a heroin addict, and she lives in Mexico to do pornography.
Been there.
Yeah. Sounds like a fun time.
So she actually gives up the identity of Matt Murdock for a shot of heroin.
Been there.
Yeah.
Who wouldn't?
And
not going to see that coming.
And the information is sold to the Kingpin.
Okay.
Oh.
So he eventually uses this information to over the course of 6 months to start picking at Matt Murdock himself. Uses the IRS to freeze his accounts. He gets the police to seize his house. He gets thugs to go beat him up, and then he ends up confronting Kingpin in his office. He gets the avalanche shit beaten out of him, and he starts living on the streets. He becomes this total recluse. He doesn't have anything to live for. He becomes like absolutely just insane. He eventually makes his way back to the orphanage that he grew up in, and he meets one of the nuns that helped him grow up, and he eventually makes his way back to the gym where his father fought his father before he died. So it's basically a book about redemption, about forgiveness, about like building yourself back up. It's sort of like Dark Knight Rises, where Bane did all that to sort of get Bruce Wayne broken. You know, they took his house, they took his business. One of the greatest panels in it is when Karen Page reveals that she basically fucked him over. He hugs her in the rain and says, "It's okay, I forgive you," and she's just on her knees crying. It's a beautiful, gritty storyline. The art is beautiful. I actually bought the comic book.
So Mazzucchelli drew Batman Year One?
Yes.
Yeah, he's got some drawing chops, so, that good.
So that's the
yeah.
So he is homeless right now. She reveals that what she did to fight her habit, and he is just like, "I forgive you."
Isn't it interesting that like Frank Miller tends to, when Frank Miller writes something, or in this period when Frank Miller was writing something, he just changed the way everybody thought about it. So Daredevil, let's face it, every 5 years, Daredevil goes through everybody knows I'm Matt Murdock, and now nobody knows I'm Matt Murdock. Now everybody knows it. There's like a cycle, and it all starts.
Amnesia cycle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Batman, after Dark Knight Returns, the Batman that you see now isn't the Batman that was being seen then. Batman now is more like the Dark Knight Returns Batman.
Yeah. It's really gritty. It's boots on the ground. It's just a really good storyteller. It's very crime related. Has all the good characters in it. Has Foggy, has Kingpin, has Bullseye, has all those runs in it. So I think that if someone who's coming into the comic book world, I think that's a really good way to start.
Okay.
Born cool. Again.
Yeah. Josh, what do you got?
What do you think I've got?
Herpes.
Oh.
Damn it, he got it in one.
I don't know if anybody wants that for Damn. Christmas. What about what
I say my hero.
I can see mangery stuff there.
Well, you're freaking wrong, Shane. No, I haven't told anyone about this one. This is a fun one. It's called Wonderland.
Sounds shit.
Well, shut up. No, it's based in Japan. It's a teenage girl. If you've ever watched Alice in Wonderland, you get the basic concept of how that works.
I've actually read the book that was written turn of the century.
By Lewis Carroll. Cool.
Yeah.
This is a young girl wakes up and she's tiny. And she's like, "The fuck? Am I on drugs? Am I what's going on here?" And the whole province in Tokyo has become tiny and the government's trying to cover it up.
Okay, hang on. If she's woken up and has become tiny,
mm-hmm.
How does she know that she's tiny?
If everything else is tiny.
Yeah.
How does what?
So she's woken up and she's tiny.
Yep.
Is her bed normal size?
Yes.
But you said the entire province is tiny.
You mean
all the people within the province?
All the people.
Sorry, not I thought like, you meant like
yeah,
the entire
landscape. Yeah, I thought
landscape.
You meant the whole thing.
No, just the people.
Just the peeps.
Yeah.
Just the peeps.
Just the peeps.
And it's really fucking dark, and I love that.
the first 30 pages is just her trying to get out of bed.
No, yeah, like the fifth page is like dead people.
Oh, lovely.
It's fucking great.
Cool. Who's it made by?
Don't know.
I can't
pronounce the names.
Show me.
It says Yugo Ishikawa.
I don't do that to people.
I'm going to get my book because I don't know how to pronounce the name
Yugo
either.
Ishikawa. It's funny. I've been reading a fair bit of Junji Ito at the moment, and I'm like the concept of darky sort of. Ooh, that's nice. Some nice artwork.
Nice artwork, huh?
Yeah.
Give me a Gandarine.
That's cool. Is this currently available?
Yeah. I just did a big Kinokuniya order, and I'm getting like the fourth volume coming out.
Kinokuniya.
Love it. Spent like $200, but
yeah, don't you hate
members
that?
Sales? Got to take advantage of it.
Every time, like Nicole and I meet in the city, like once a month for lunch, and it turns into $200 or $300 worth of Kino for me.
Oh, if I'm gonna order from there, I've got to order.
Blames it all on me.
You've got to order over $50 because then you get free shipping.
That's right. Well, the thing is that Nicole and I meet for lunch,
and they wrap it so nice.
She says,
"Sick invite, bro.
You need to drink." Because day drinking, and then she takes me to Kino and makes me spend money.
See, I do that before I go drinking. Because me and Nathan go there for that.
I pretend that I've drunk first so that I can justify how much money I've spent.
Oh, I'm so wasted. Let's go spend money.
So that's why I have a supportive wife today. She's like, you need to get this. I'm like, I do.
Yeah. But this is basically her trying to... She gets downstairs, kind of meets up with the family, people start dying.
Is this a series or is it a one-off?
Yes. No, it's a series. This is four volumes released so far, but then things like birds, animals start becoming, you're at the bottom of the food chain.
Oh,
so
yeah.
They start becoming real big problems. And is the government involved? Is there supernatural forces involved?
Is there other characters from Carol's original work? Like, have we got the White Rabbit?
The Cheshire Cat?
Yes and no. Not, like, thrown in your face like, this is a thing, but enough that you could be like, I can see that they might be introducing this character as some sort of delivery service person, or they might be leading this person to someone else, to an appointment that they need to get to sort of thing. So, yeah, black and white, nice little.
I've been sort of waiting for a new issue of Miss Koyabayashi's Dragon Maid to come out, so maybe I should grab that.
Well, if you want to go from a nice slice of life to a lot of murderer, then this is your thing.
That's why I'm here.
Yeah, there you go.
Cool. Okay. Good choice, Josh.
Give that a red hot go.
Awesome. Nicole, what do you got?
Ooh. Hey, I've got a first book in a series called Scythe. And I don't know how to pronounce that guy's
name. Where are
the
pitches?
Neil Schusterman.
Schusterman? Yeah, let's go with that. I think the third book came out this year and I haven't picked it up yet. But it's kind of like a perfect world in which is like no disease, like there's no reason for people to die anymore. They just kind of keep living.
Just like old
infinitely.
Age?
Infinitely. No, they don't really. Once they hit like, it's like 25, 30 or something, they just stop aging.
Ooh.
So they just continue as they are. And the only way for them to die is like this profession of scythes, where it's their job to go kill people. And then like, you know, big supercomputer kind of thing works out who needs to be gleaned to like keep population under control.
Cool. Like psychopaths.
Wow. Somewhere.
Yeah. So, but like, it's not just like a simple, like,
how do you get picked? How do you win the lottery?
Yeah. I think, I read it like at the start of the year. So I've got to read it again before I read the third one. It's like a omniscient kind of like, supercomputery kind of thing just picks.
Can I get a definition randomly of that word?
It's godlike.
Yeah, cool. So it's like the lotto, but the lotto you don't want to win.
Exactly. But it's not like a simple, like, you know, touch you and you die. These people get like trained in the art of killing. Okay. So like they get to go up to this person and decide, am I gonna like slice you into a million pieces with my machete today? Or am I going to burn you alive? Am I going to hang you? Am I gonna drown you? Like, they just kind of get free reign.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah, right? It's pretty good. So like the whole book is these two teenager-y kind of age kids where they both get picked to be like apprenticed for like to become a scythe.
Okay.
Kind of person.
Hunger Games.
They're both people that they don't really want this to be their life, but they kind of have no choice.
They don't want to kill for a living.
Yeah. Well, yeah. No.
Haven't worked in retail.
They haven't worked in retail.
Yeah, fucking noobs.
Yeah. So it's really good. But then, like, you get into the second book and it's more, like, political conspiracy kind of stuff. Like, the whole government aspect of it is, like, crumbling. It's all sort of, you know, people trying to work the system to their advantage and kind of thing.
Like the Purge vibes.
Yeah. It's kind of purgy, but like all the time.
It's kind of purgy.
Kind of purgy.
It's not just one day. It's all the time.
So like if you're walking down the street and you'd see like a scythe walking towards you, everyone would start
freaking out.
Oh,
so they just like come out during the day and stuff like that.
They just come up to you and be like, cool, you have 48 hours to get your affairs in order. I will be at your house in 2 days. Bye.
That's pretty good. I'd like notice.
Do they have, do they wear like a uniform?
Yeah.
Sounds like
probably
equilibrium.
Something similar to what's on the front cover.
Christian Bale.
Yeah. It's very equilibrium.
Oh, okay. So they dress kind of like the
Grim Reaper. I think so. Again, it's been a little bit since I read it. Like I said, the third one came out, and I didn't realize, and so I've got to read the first two again, so I kind of am up to date.
So the sea is silent.
Yes. Scythe.
Yeah. Scythe. It's like that's the thing.
Like science.
Like,
you know, the blade.
The blade. Like the Grim Reaper.
All right.
Jeez. Whoa, Shane's never met fucking death before.
Yeah. He's triple fisting beers.
I'm too busy living. I got no time for death.
I ain't got time for your books. I'm too busy living, bitches. Okay, so I guess that's my turn. I've actually grabbed a couple of the first one that I'm going to pick so that everybody can have a little bit
move
of
that. You said only move three. That weird liquid to the side.
Lies.
So this was a comic.
Got a giant fucking pile.
This is a comic that I started reading.
Oh, hentai.
This is a comic I started reading.
Slovin' Rockets.
In the 80s.
Enough for the class.
That's cool.
Share your book.
So basically, Love and Rockets started in 1981. It went for about 50 issues and it finished in 1996. It
smells good.
Which means that it wasn't just like a regular monthly comic. Because of the adult material in it, it was actually sort of made in a magazine size rather than a comic size so that it really specified what it was. The stories in it are done by brothers who call themselves collectively Los Bros Hernandez. But there's two. It's basically two soap operas. One of them is Palomar, the Palomar series, which is by Gilbert Hernandez. And what it's about is basically a town called Palomar and the people that live in it. So you get these mix of stories, and it's kind of like a soap opera in so much as that while you're looking through the lives of these people, you're actually seeing just completely, like, there's a sheriff who, a female sheriff in the town who refuses to carry a gun, so she carries a hammer. But the stories of Palomar actually extend out. So somebody leaves the town and moves to Hollywood to become a movie star. Somebody else does this, somebody else does that. But there's a real mix of soap opery stories that are very human. I guess the Hernandez brothers, because being from South America, they've very much made it about their own lives growing up.
And there's wrestling in here. That's very, very
there's like American, Mexican, the sort of luchador and that sort of stuff.
Which one's the first book?
So Maggie the Mechanic, I think is the first one. Yeah.
May I borrow it?
Yeah, of course. the other part of it, so what you've got there, Shane, it's Maggie the Mechanic is actually by Jamie Hernandez.
Yeah.
This is the Hopper 13 series. Now, Hopper 13 tells a story of it's basically a bunch of kids growing up. And when I say kids, they're sort of early to mid-20s, and you're following their lives. Maggie's actually a rocket ship mechanic. It started off as a science fiction series, but her being a rocket ship mechanic is nothing to do with the story. So there's no space stories. There's no stories about them going into outer space or anything like that. It's like there'll be all of this human drama, and then she's like, right, I'm off to work to fix rockets, and she goes to work.
Great. What do you do? Oh, I'm a grocer at the supermarket. What do you? Rocket ships.
I'm a rocket mechanic.
It is hugely dialogue.
Yeah. It's massive. It's an illustrated book sometimes.
It's beautifully lined as well. It's just,
these guys,
it's visually pleasing to look at.
So good.
It's very much Archie.
There was an opening there for you.
Well, there is a lot of tits in it. So yeah, it is very visually pleasing.
I didn't see any, but I look forward to it then.
But yeah, these guys have used these same characters across sort of kids' comics. There was a Penny Century comic which was about a wrestler and her wrestling friends who were superheroes. And then there was a thing called Birdland, which was one of the Palomar characters who actually became a stripper and a porno star, and how her life fell apart because of that. Amazing stories. Not many people outside of the regular comic readers seem to have heard of them. And they're really important, cool comics that people should read. They are available in two different ways. These editions that I've got here, which you can't see because it's a podcast, are a new nice one where they collect sort of handfuls of stories. There's also a Love and Rockets collection where it's just like Love and Rockets issue 1 to 12 and then Love and Rockets issues 13 to 22 or whatever, where they actually collect it's incomplete stories, but your expectation is to collect the whole thing. Whereas this, you can just pick up that one, or, you know, Heartbreak Soup, or what have I got over here, Penny Century. You can just pick up one of these ones and just read it and get that story and never have to read another one.
So it's like American Horror Story. You can just sort of jump into it.
You can jump into it anywhere. And then what it'll be is you'll read another one later and you'll go, oh, this is Luba as an adult and I read one of her as a child.
Yeah, because you can look at, there's no like sort of like numbered books. It's sort of just like the titles of it.
Yeah, yeah. They're from Fantagraphics and I really can't suggest them enough. They're amazing.
I always wondered why you love it so much. So now I'm going to be a part of the crew.
Yeah, yeah,
cool. There'll be two of us.
Yeah. So Shane, what's your next one?
It's another Marvel one. So that's two out of three that are going to be Marvel today.
So you're doing...
Wow, I didn't...
Hang on,
aren't
you the DC guy?
Your t-shirt says
I am the DC
Comics?
Guy, yes.
Well, that's broken.
No, but the number one is definitely the best DC one.
there's a best DC one?
Yeah.
Oh, so it's not Batman.
No.
Batman.
Yeah, my favorite Marvel character is...
The Punisher.
Punisher, everyone knows that.
Frankie.
Yeah, so my favorite story written by... was it Garth Ennis and art by Steve Dillon is Welcome Back, Frank.
Yes. Steve Dillon.
Yeah. Preacher, all that stuff.
Judge Dredd.
Judge, yeah. Oh, yeah, so Welcome Back, Frank. I don't have the book with me because as this podcast title is related, I lent it out to somebody who needed to read it.
Yep.
Yeah, so it follows just Frank Castle, obviously a retired Vietnam veteran. His family was gunned down by a crime family. But this one just basically has him going against another crime family, the Nucci's, in New York City. He's living in sort of like a halfway house with three tenants. Joan, Spacker Dave. Don't know why it's Spacker Dave. I don't know what that word means.
So Spacker is a vulgar term for spastic.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah.
He does look like it in the comic book. He's got like piercings everywhere and all that stuff. And we got Mr. Bompo, the 400-pound guy who just keeps eating. So he's sort of hiding out there away from everything while he's making his moves on the crime family.
So the Thomas Jane Punisher movie takes place
It's based on Welcome Back, Frank, which I think is a really good movie.
I love
it. It's a bit underrated. So, yeah, it just follows him going after the Nucci family led by the vicious Ma Nucci. He is in touch with Microchip still.
Ma Nucci.
Yeah, Ma Nucci, yeah.
Ma Nucci.
Yeah, so...
Hey there, baby. Would you like to see Manucci?
Yeah, and he makes allies with a Detective Soap. Who basically gets put on the case because it's a no-win case. Basically, the cops are letting Punisher do what he wants. He's just there to...
He's doing their job for him, though, as well.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but Detective Soap just feels like, you know, when, like, someone goes, what's your boyfriend's name? It's John.
George Glass.
George Glass.
Yeah. Yeah.
I got that pop vinyl.
Like, you know, there's a bar of soap in, like, the corner, and they're it's Soap.
I always saw Call of Duty.
Detective Soap.
What? I always thought Call of Duty when I was talking about sort of Detective Soap, because Soap McTavish.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so whenever I hear it, there was a comic in the 80s called Eagle, and there was a private detective in that called Joe Soper. Whenever I hear that, I go straight to Joe Soper.
Yeah, so there's a lot of sort of side storylines. So once the Punisher just starts doing his thing, some of the notable panels in it is they try to trap the Punisher in a zoo, and Ma Nucci's there, and he throws her into a polar bear, like containment. And enclosure, and the polar bear rips all four of her limbs off, and she's actually still in the story. She's just in hospital with no arms and legs, just calling shots. They send in the Russian, who is this big Russian military, like just looks like the Andre the Giant,
and played by Kevin Nash
in the movie. Yeah, yeah. He played that really well. Gotta give him that. There's really good torture scenes. They go to the halfway house he's staying at, and they torture Dave by pulling out his piercings and all that. And there's about three other sort of anti villains in it. There's a priest who thinks he's doing the Lord's work by taking out all the scum of the world. There's a really neat guy who sort of wears a V Vendetta mask. We're all running the streets trying to clean up the dirty parts, but there's also a dirty gangster who's trying to get rid of all the really posh people as well. The art is beautiful. It's just standard, beautiful Steve Dillon art.
Steve Dillon.
Yeah, you can't fault the art. I wish
never
I had
does
it with
a three-quarter shot.
Yeah.
Everybody looks straight ahead or to the side. No, there's none of that.
Wish I had a witness so you can see the artwork, but it's absolutely beautiful. It's just, once again, gritty crime story, and I love it. And I've probably read about maybe 9 or 10 times since I've had it.
Yeah, I agree. That's beautiful Punisher, then.
Yeah.
That's amazing Punisher.
Sorry, one of the best parts of it is the Daredevil Punisher standoff on the roof. So Punisher is about to take out a few of the Marnucci crime family, and in one of the panels, a red stick comes out of nowhere and just says, clack.
Bally Club.
Bally Club, thank you. And it's Daredevil.
Stick.
Yeah. And it's Daredevil trying to be like, what are you doing? And he's just like, I'm doing what you can't do. I'm putting him down. And they end up having a fight, and Daredevil loses the fight, and he wakes up chained with a gun in his hand. And Punisher is pointing a gun at them, saying, if you either got to do what you don't want to do, take me out or I'm going to take them out.
Oh, isn't that in season 2 of the Netflix series as well?
Yeah.
And that's, it's like chained to the chimney or some shit.
Yeah, he's chained to the chimney on the roof, yeah. So he's basically just standing there with a gun saying, if you don't want to kill me, like, I'm going to do it, but then the gun isn't loaded anyway. But he still doesn't pull the trigger.
Yeah.
Psych.
Yeah, and he just leaves.
There's no bullet.
It's a great panel. It's a great
Daredevil,
story.
More like Pussy Devil.
Yeah. Fucking Matt Murdock.
Takes a shot, realizes there's no bullets, and he's like, oh, well, you were going to kill me. I'm going to leave you there.
Well, sorry, Simpsons moment.
Simpsons Go. Did it.
Where he's like, Homer, it's the episode where Homer gets a gun, and Marge is like, oh, no guns in house. And like, Snake goes to rob them at one point.
Beta.
And he's like, grabs the gun off him. Ah, joke's on you. There's no bullets in that gun. Holds the gun up. Give me all your bullets. Ah, here we go.
The interesting thing is about that story is that I have a theory that Daredevil knows that there's no bullets in it.
Oh.
He wouldn't be able to smell the gunpowder in there. He wouldn't be able to feel. He'd be able to feel the weight of the gun's too light.
Oh yeah.
All that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
So he knew it didn't have bullets.
But what's good about that is this: if you've seen the Netflix Punisher or Daredevil series, go back and read that, but read in John Bernthal's voice.
Red, you can't protect him.
That, it's just, it's great. Yeah. Josh, I'll lend it to you.
Josh, next one on your list.
Hello. I have a DC one next.
Oh, hey. Jesus Christ.
Nah, psych, I'm not sharing.
I was going to say, somebody has to pick up the DC.
Nah, I'm not doing that. It's Shane's job. He's doing my job this week.
Not today,
yay.
Yeah. So what's your next one, Josh?
I got one of my favorites. I get back to it every year. Scott Pilgrim.
Ooh. Yeah, boy.
That's cool.
That's a nice hardcover edition.
Yeah,
too.
So they did these in black and white originally, and I picked these up back when I was in Hawaii ages ago, and this is when the first color volume came out.
That's cheap.
Super cheap. Gotta love American dollars. And then there's fun little side notes. So this is the exact same retelling, but it's just in color now.
That is beautiful artwork.
It's really funny because there's little side notes scattered throughout, like when Ramona changes her hair color and stuff like that, being like, well, this was funnier in black and white. Because now he has to associate a hair color with when she said she's changed it in the comics. So, and he's got to keep track of what colors he's used and stuff like that. But this is word for word, basically what's happened in the Edgar Wright.
That's awesome.
Copy of the film. Except for when you get to like chapters 5 and 6 and they've kind of just gone, we need the boss battle to happen now and kind of cut out a whole bunch of
stuff. Laughing right now. It's really funny.
Mm. And then you've got on the back cover, you've got like 1 to 6 to 1 to 7 for the 7 evil X's. And each chapter you get a different spot, like filled into the back of the cover. And
was there ever a Young Neil series?
No.
This is Young Neil?
That I've seen yet. No, but yeah.
So what do you play?
Play bass.
No, he's like, oh,
it's interesting. It's kind of a hard question. 7 evil ex boyfriends, it says in the back, rather than evil exes.
Yeah.
But now it'd be just exes.
Well, it's exes now because she has the experimental girlfriend.
SJWs.
Yeah. They do that in their film. They make a very specific point when they're like, oh, 7 evil ex boyfriends. She's like, because she's got the exes in the fridge. And she's like, no, 7 evil exes.
Yeah.
She never outright says a girl, but she makes it clarified that she's like, no, just 70 like,
and
seven
let's face it, Scott Pilgrim as a film is quite possibly one of, if not the greatest comic book to film ever.
It is a brilliant adaptation.
Fun. Every single thing in that. And even if you don't like people like, what's his name who plays Scott?
Michael Cera.
Like, even if you don't like Michael Cera, he nails that role. And I'm not saying that I don't like Michael Cera, but it's like, I know people, I've sat and watched that with people who are like, oh, it's got that fucking guy.
Have you watched This Is the End? The one about him in that fucking movie.
That's
was amazing.
Emma Watson as well.
Yeah, yeah. When he's on coke and he slaps Rihanna's ass.
Yeah. But like.
Oh, I just totally found me floating. I'll leave you alone forever now. Thanks. Like, that's me.
But I mean,
I did that as well and then I got married.
Yeah, that's epic choice.
Yeah, it is an extended story. Obviously, they can only fit X amount into a movie, so there is a little bit cut out towards the end of the story. But yeah, the first 3 to 4 chapters are
these hardcovers available in Australia? Have you seen them at all?
Yeah, they're at Kinokuniya. They're at other places.
Looks like a really easy read.
It's a really simple, fun read.
I like O'Malley's pseudo manga look too.
Mm.
Like it's like somewhere between comic strip comics from a newspaper and manga. I really love it.
And it's the right way. So you don't have to worry about reading backwards. But no, I got the first one. I finished the Black and White collection when I was over there and got the first color one over there because it was out like 4 months before I was out here because Australia and things take a long time to get here. But yeah, they're all out now. I've got them all. They're one of the ones I keep in my room because I read it so regularly.
Do they spine up with something on the spine or anything?
Like yeah, all the colors color coordinate to the seven Evil X's.
That's cool.
And have like a different color palette for that associated person.
I love it when they do that sort of stuff. I've got a Sin City collection somewhere.
So do I.
And the spines make Nancy dancing.
Mm. Those were the first full collections I actually bought. Yeah.
Beautiful set that.
It's like what they did with the new Infinity War saga. It makes like a visual picture. I know you've got some of the Marvel collection stuff.
And the Batman ones as well from the news agencies.
When they're like, oh, buy the first one for $2.99, you're like, that's cheap. Yeah, and then it's like $15.99 afterwards, but you're like, oh, but I need this big picture that it makes up.
I already heard four of them, but I need this one.
And the fucked up thing is, too, is they don't give them to you order, so you can just go, okay, then that's the first image of Batman. I'm not going to buy
anymore. Nope, they give you like all different.
Issue 5, issue 27, issue 106. And it's like, fuck you, pal. Give in order.
That was a good pick.
Then you've got a big bunch passionate. Of random pictures.
That's a really good pick, bro.
Yeah, good one.
Thanks, man.
And it's like you never saw your copy of it again because Shane just went, put it down.
Last time he borrowed some movies, it only took him 3.5 years to return.
I still have three of yours still sealed at home.
I know you do.
Yep.
I've still got your animated Superman somewhere here.
That was like 3 years ago.
This is how it works. Someone wronged you, so now you've got to wrong someone else.
I found it somewhere and it was like, oh, that's Shane.
You know what? It's all on Amazon Prime, so it's all good.
No, I'll chase you up for that. I read that. Easily, he'll every few months.
Your, what?
That. He'll be knocking on
what
your
what
door.
What do you mean that? What are you looking at me for?
That.
You snitch. You're a knock, dude. Fucking knock.
Dude, because I kind of wanted to borrow it too.
I'll start reading it now.
Yeah.
Someone can have the black and white. Someone
will be done by the next color. Podcast episode.
Yeah, exactly. So, Nicole, what's your next one?
I fell down a rabbit hole of like fantasy.
Alice in Wonderland.
Fairy lore. Ooh. No, but I do. I'll bring it up later because I can't remember. I have to look it up. But there was a really good TV series that was kind of like a take on Alice in Wonderland. I can't remember specifics right now, but it's in the back of my head. No. I was reading. I went into like Sarah J. Maas fiction recently. Yeah, you're like, who the fuck is that?
Yeah, none of us know what that is.
No.
Pictures.
Yeah, no pictures. No, she's really good like fantasy kind of writer. So the first series she wrote, I think she started when she was like 16 or something. So she only just finished it recently because it's got like 6 or 7 in it. But I read that one and I didn't kind of like it. It was the Throne of Glass series. But then the second one I started reading, which is her Court of Thorn and Roses series. So fucking good. And then about halfway through, I realized that it's kind of like a take on Beauty and the Beast as well. In that,
she fuck a dog.
What? No.
Well, that's what Belle does in Beauty and the Beast. She fucks that dog.
Reality.
What's it about?
So
fucking dogs.
She's kind of on the human side of this like border, and she's like starving. Her family's really poor. She goes off into the woods to hunt animals, and she ends up killing like a wolf that's actually like a fairy creature. So in sort of punishment for her killing that, she gets taken into like the fairy kind of kingdom realm and whatnot as a prisoner. But it's kind of like Belle in that, like she gets taken by this like beast of forms to live in his castle as punishment kind of thing. And she ends up having to like break the whole curse that's on like the sort of like the all the kingdoms.
Does sound Beauty and the Beast-ish.
Yeah.
Stockholm Syndrome.
But but no, it's actually like you take that part aside and it's a really, really good, like the writing style is really good. Even though it's technically still classed as young adult fiction, it doesn't feel as mushy love story teenagery, which I've definitely grown out of. Like, right. I want better kind of quality fiction.
Here's a question.
Yes.
We go into comic book stores, we go into that, we go straight for the comic books, right?
Yeah.
You go into a QBD. I like that bookstore as well.
You
go to QBD.
Because they sell comics.
Yeah, you go there, Dimmicks, and you know other stuff.
And they all get heavily
reduced. Where do you gravitate to first in the session? Because I'll go straight to DC, then I'll go straight to Image.
I think I'm starting to go more for just like plain up fiction sections. Every now and then, like, don't get me wrong, just because it's classified as young adult doesn't mean it's teenagery. it can still be good. Like this one is quite adult in that, like, it's not young love kind of thing. There's really complex kind of emotions and situations and whatnot. And I just really enjoyed it. But no, I will still go for young adult, but I'm keen because she's finally writing her first book that comes out next year, Crescent City. That's the first one that she's not classifying in any way as young adult. Yeah. So it's going to be a bit more sort of like for grown-ups kind of thing. Yeah. So less teenagery. I don't know how to describe this.
Do you research the authors or do you like get, like, do you look up stuff and then like
go to them? I came across her because I was reading, she's similar to Cassandra Clare, so who wrote like City of Bones and everything.
And stuff like Ashes,
yeah, so I kind of ended up falling into her category through Cassandra Clare because they were kind of similar in that fantasy kind of thing. So everyone's like, oh, what kind of stuff do you read? And I'm like, one minute I can be reading this and the next minute my favorite book is like The Book Thief, which is like World War II.
I read that. It was really good.
Fucking amazing.
It was a good book.
So, yeah, there's no real, like, category I put myself into. It's
I stole a book once. Does that count?
Yes. You're blown up in the World War II in a bookstore. Yeah.
Is that an age joke? You son of a bitch.
Yeah. Because I have one person that basically tells me what to read, and he's sitting opposite me.
Yeah.
And that's where I get all my good ideas from. So, it's
yeah.
And I don't have to tell him to drink.
Yeah.
No, he does that by himself.
The good thing is my shop is next to the QBD in the center.
Oh, nice.
So I'll just get them to recommend stuff to me every now and then.
That's quite good.
We're the internet. We're on pages.
But how long was I stuck in my DC like sort of rut where I was like, I'm not taking any recommendations of anybody if it's not DC.
Yeah, but I'm surprised you do that. Like, I go into a shop and I don't start at Marvel. I look around for stuff that pops out. Stuff
I actually might have liked.
It looks visually nice.
I pretty much go to Image right now.
That's how I picked up the Raven thing. That's how I picked up like this.
Southern Bastards, Lock and Key.
The fact that color just stood out on that, I was like,
yeah.
The fact that the blue just stood out and then I was like, sick, I love Wonderland.
I go for covers sometimes, definitely, because like one of the best books I've ever bought, it was just called Letters to Sky. There's no blurb on the back. There's no blurb on the inside. I literally bought it because it was gorgeous looking and it led me to, because it's about a poet that lives on the Isle of Skye in Scotland. And it took me 2-3 years after I read that, but I made it to Skye because of that book, because of the description of the Scottish Highlands and the Isle in that book. And I picked it up knowing nothing about it. It was just that the cover was fucking beautiful. So
I did that with Lock and Key. I'm like, this looks fucking cool.
Yeah.
And it'd been amazing.
But yeah, exactly.
My second favorite novel of all time is a novel called The Wasp Factory by Ian Banks. And I solely was...
The Wasp Factory?
The Wasp Factory.
I'm allergic to bees.
Me too. And the thing that it got me with was there was a clock. And it just had a wasp on it. For some reason, I found that image so fascinating. Yeah. And I read that book and I was like, fuck, this is an amazing.
I think I grabbed that. That's pretty cool.
Handmaid's Tale, the fucking Grim Reaper thing.
Yeah. But like exactly.
The Wasp Factory is an amazing book about a guy who, when he was about 8 or 9, his family pet tore off his genitalia. And so he has spent his life living on this little island off Ireland. Sort of not quite feeling like a man at all, and through that happening, it's developed a form of psychosis where he's... And the book, I think the opening line of the book is something to the effect of, I still remember the second time I killed a family member. And you immediately go, what the fuck? And I was in.
I love it's the second time. Not the first. The fact that it's second time gets
This is your talent, Justin. You have a way of like fucking gravitating stuff towards people. I want to fucking read it.
You've got to read it.
See, I'm saying Punisher. I'm like, oh, blood. Oh, ripping off limbs. But I know. You're saying so eloquently like what like is in it. I'm just like, oh, Punisher, guns.
Yeah, you're like, describe this book, Nicole. I'm like,
it has a scythe in it.
And scythe?
Yeah.
It's got a scythe.
Yeah,
it's just so good I can't put it into words.
This led me to Ian Banks, and Ian Banks, he writes under two names, Ian Banks and Ian M. Banks. Ian Banks are stories that are very much set in our worlds.
Another Simpsons quote.
And Ian M. Banks, he writes science fiction.
Simpsons quote, when Lisa wants to prove that Bart is dumber than a hamster, she goes to buy one. He goes, he writes mysteries under the name J.D. McGregor. How can a hamster write mysteries? Okay, sister, but you have to buy the hamster or his mom's going to eat him.
I didn't get it.
I'm with you, Josh.
You wouldn't, bro.
No, I get Simpsons quotes. That one just didn't make sense, but okay.
It's just the middle name, Bart. Whenever I was like, you know, such M this, I get it with every time customers come in and they're like, oh, it's, you know, Ronald B. such and such. And I'm like, from this time onwards, I'll be known as Homer J. Simpson.
J.
Awesome.
Okay.
I am so smart. S-M-R-T.
I mean, S-M-I-R-T.
I don't get it. That's how you spell the word smart, but he misspells it. Okay. Thought that was pretty straightforward.
Anyway, that sounds pretty that sounds pretty
this
cool.
This is why Mitchell is my go-to Simpsons person, because no one else appreciates the
quotes. No, I do.
Oh, good.
Don't worry about
good.
It.
Good. Fuck these guys.
Yeah.
I've watched the first six...
1 to 10 is the
that's
go-to.
Too much.
Yeah. Yeah.
1 to 10 is the
maybe
go-to.
The first 10 seasons, yeah. And then
hands
I haven't
down,
watched
best episode is Hank Scorpio.
You only move twice.
Yep.
Yep. And then Itchy and Scratchy Land, season 7.
Yep. You don't mind killing somebody on your way out? That'd be great.
Yeah. You ever seen a guy say goodbye to a shoe
nothing
before?
Has,
get the hell out of here.
What is it like where nothing can possibly go
wrong?
Possibly
go wrong.
Possibly go wrong.
Well, that was the first thing that did go wrong.
I'll have the baby guts. Mom, that's veal. Ooh.
Can we get more bought number plates to the service bar?
Should have worn my bought name tag.
That comes up again as well, yeah.
It's
so,
in my bag.
Is it?
Oh, God. You got a bought?
I haven't bought name tags.
Yes! I had a Bruce Wayne when I was working, Bruce Wayne, like, proper name badge. I was working at McDonald's back in the day. And I remember my last day, I was so savage to a customer. She asked for my name badge, and I'm like...
Oh, I've had a lot, like, yeah. Oh, thanks so much. Bored?
Would you like fries with that?
In my experience, Nicole, all they're doing is trying to look at your boobs because they do it to me all the time.
Oh,
thanks.
I'll be standing there and they'll like be standing there looking at my name tag and I know what they're looking at. I know what
trying to look at my lumps.
I know what these dirty women are looking at.
Wow.
Yeah.
I get that as well.
So I lift my shirt and go have a proper look.
Spring break, y'all.
Rum Springer.
Possibility nice. to reply to you, Justin. Yeah. Just, I don't know where to go with this.
Well, how about we go to my next book?
Nah.
Should we go, can we talk about your titties still?
Pornhub's not a book.
It's a way of life.
Yeah. That they're doing Christmas sweaters and I'm that close to buying one.
Really?
Hey, Sam.
It says Pornhub. It says Pornhub on it and has the emblem all around it in Christmas.
Oh my
something.
God!
There are Batman sweaters out there. I'm just like, it's just too hot to work in the store.
Oh
like,
yeah,
that's,
thing, yeah,
that's why because our go winters to Zing, at the wrong we time. We have ugly Christmas sweaters, but they're t-shirts.
Yeah, I bought this because I can't rock green. Yeah.
The last year.
Green Batman one.
Yeah,
I can't
true.
Do it.
But it's too hot to wear them in summer.
Yeah,
I wear them in winter and people go, "It's not fucking Christmas."
I ordered both the DC Converse Batman. Like, one second.
Yeah, good.
Oh, yes.
Good, very
yes,
good.
Queen.
Yes, Gaga.
You listen to me. Good work.
Just keep going.
My next one is not a comic either. It's actually a book.
Oh, what?
I think that I've spoken about this on the podcast before. This is by Hirohiko Araki, who did JoJo's Big Adventure.
New Adventure?
JoJo's Bizarre.
Bizarre Adventure, yeah. Thank you. This is called Manga in Theory and Practice, The Craft of Creating Manga. It's more than that. Like there's a lot of books around that are like how to draw comics. You know, there's like how to draw comics the Marvel way by John Buscema and Stan Lee. There's
open up a DC book, comic it, copy it,
yeah, basically. There's a whole pile of those sorts of books around, but there's even a DC how to write comic books. There's Stan Lee's written a couple of things about how to write comic books. Rob Liefeld's written one about how to trace comic books. Suck it, Rob Liefeld.
He has such a punchable face.
Fuck, dude, like, don't get me started.
His teeth are not real either.
No?
Like, they look just...
They'll crumble easy when I hit them. Anyway, so this is actually about...
We don't like him, Nicole.
This is about the creative spark. So this is about getting ideas for anything creative. The way he talks about it is he's not just talking about... He's not just talking about sitting down and going, when you come up with your idea for a manga, you write your story and then you sit down and you draw your story. This is about absorbing everything and not just like my problem with Image Comics, initial Image Comics, was the fact
Let
that...
Let me put mine away. Sorry, you're hurting the feelings.
Well, my next one's an Image Comic. So one of the things about Image Comics is they were a bunch of guys who learned to draw by reading comics.
Todd McFarlane?
All of them. All of them learn how to write by reading comics, which is why those early issues are all shithouse, because they didn't have a writer amongst them. They're a bunch of okay artists that people were going crazy for because they were different. But this really talks about the heart of creativity, and the heart of creativity being those Image guys. My point with the Image guys was that they had only ever read comics. They didn't read anything but comics. And so their style and everything they did reflected that. Araki actually watches things like Gran Torino. He absorbs all sort of Eastern and Western culture.
I just saw the word Clint Eastwood in here.
Yeah. He absorbs all sort of Eastern and Western culture. And when he creates a character, he doesn't like a lot of people, they'll sit down and they'll go, okay, then I'm going to create a character called Spider-Man. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to make him a skinny guy, kind of spidery, and he's going to have an outfit that's got spiders on it. The way that Araki works is that he'll sit down and he'll go, okay, then I've got a character whose name is Brenda Grayson. Brenda Grayson lives in the desert. So immediately when you think of that, you start to think of what Brenda Grayson would be like. If she was brought up in the desert, she'd probably mainly wear brown tones. She'd probably have hair that's not perfect. It'd be a little bit destroyed by the weather. She'd have regularly sunburnt skin. So he starts to create his ideas by creating the background for things rather than just going, this is the name of this person and this is what they look like. So he actually creates, when he does his comics, he's already invented an entire backstory for everything. So if it comes up later on that Brenda's going to be
doing a sushi chef.
A sushi chef. And some sand blows into the restaurant, she'll be the perfect person to get rid of sand because she's been spending her life getting sand out of where she lived from wherever. So it develops that creativity side of it, and it's really interesting just to not, like, you see all of these how to draw comics things, and it's like you come up with your character, you create your character, and then you write a comic about it. This is about the development of an idea, and it's adaptable. I'm interested in things like Naomi Wu, I like Tested, I like that sort of stuff, and it's because I'm really interested in where people's creativity comes from. And this is really a source of how creativity works and how you don't know you're going to get inspiration from this particular place. And I think this is important for people who like comics to read, because sometimes comics is more than just, like, you know, they say that we say that Stan Lee and Jack Kirby created Iron Man. But they didn't really. They didn't really. Everybody who's ever written Iron Man has created Iron Man.
Wizard of Oz.
What?
The Wizard of Oz.
What about Wizard of Oz?
Tin Man.
What the fuck just happened?
What was that?
But yeah, anyway, I can say it over and over again, but it's just about that spark of creativity and where it comes from. And funnily enough, when I read this, I actually read it very soon after reading Adam Savage from Tested and from Mythbusters. He has a book that's kind of a guide to life, and it's kind of his history as well, and it's called Every Tool is a Hammer. And this and that sit together really well because they are about looking at something that's not there and putting it there. And it's pretty cool. I think a creative lifestyle is interesting. We do this because I like that sort of stuff. I like the creative side of it. I like to do creative stuff.
And I annoyed you for a few years about
it. And you played the fuck out of me for so long.
Just me podcasting soon? Or? We need a third person. Who should we get?
Yeah. Oh, that guy will do. What's his name?
I don't know. We can get a replacement because he's always on cruises.
Hello.
Is that what you meant?
I put some sweet magnets back from Brisbane.
Yeah, he did too.
Yeah, it's on my fridge.
One's two.
It's at the bottom.
It's on the fridge though, right?
It's on the fridge.
All right.
One. That's a win.
If Cole wants to go back again, you're on the list.
Yeah.
Okay, we're just going to stop for a sec because I'm running out of time. So we'll be back with our last picks in just a second.
Grab pizza. Is a pizza.
We're recording now, right?
Yeah, I'm just providing the fun like I was talking about.
So we're going to go for our last round of books. Shane, let's vote on what we think Shane's last one will be.
You know,
Josh,
what do you think?
DC Batman, Mr. Justin.
Yep. What do you think, Kel?
Given the shirt, DC related.
The shirt,
and the two tattoos on his legs.
Three.
And the
one on his arm. Yeah.
Three.
No, three altogether. Fourth coming soon.
What fourth one are you getting?
Adam West.
What are you getting?
Like a portrait?
Yeah, portrait.
Just give it Tracy's
before balls. You get that, well, no, because have you seen interviews with people when they ask them, they're like, oh, I've got a portrait of you, and they're like,
I'm going to drink his remains.
You've seen Iron Man 3.
Yeah.
And that really horrible version of, like, Robert Downey Jr.'s face, and it's like, Some people are like, I don't like my face being on your body, but okay. Have fun with that.
There's a comedian from Wales who has a potato tattooed in his shoulder, and it just looks like a giant melanoma. It's terrible. Yeah.
I mean, so Shane, there's a lot to love about potatoes, though.
Potatoes are tight.
Yeah. Not enough to maybe get a tattoo on my body, but so sure.
So tight.
So tight, dude.
So, Shane, what Batman story have you picked? Is it The Killing Joke? Is it Dark Knight Returns? Is it Dark Knight Returns 3? Is it Dark Knight Returns 2? Is it Dark Knight Returns, the new ones that's just started this week?
Whoa. Batman. No, this one sort of gets a bit overshadowed by those books you just mentioned.
Oh, Dark Knight!
Yeah. This one came out in 1996 by Jeff Loeb and art by Tim Sale. Heavily influenced the Dark Knight movie from 2008 with Heath Ledger. Ooh. Best Joker ever. Sorry, Justin.
Yeah. Where's the pink slip?
Yeah.
I'm out, that was yours.
That was it.
Yeah.
Back in 2000 and... I want to say it was about 2012, 2013. I was in America with my now wife, and I was at Borders bookstore, and I was looking through
Borders is amazing.
Yeah, it was really good.
God,
yeah.
I miss Borders.
Yeah, I was looking through the graphic novel section, and I picked up just a random one, and it was called The Long Halloween. And this just random dude came up to me. He was looking at the same section, and he goes, "Oh, that movie was based off The Dark Knight." And I'm like, "Oh, shit," and I was like, oh, I got to get this. And I read it, and it was just fucking mind-blowing. So my number one pick, my number one gift to all you nerds out there who want to get into Batman and don't want to read all the stuff that they always tell you to read, The Long Halloween. Ta-da.
How long is it?
Cool.
Hit that.
Yeah.
Oh, hang on. Wait. I was hoping you're going to press the wrong one.
There it is.
Josh is hoping for the boo.
I was. Yeah. I thought it'd be funnier if you accidentally hit the boo.
The Long Halloween. It is a very, very, very long read. And it cost me $19.99.
Wow.
Yeah, looks like a long read.
It is a very, very long read.
All those pictures to look at.
Pass it around.
That was 12 issues.
I'm good.
Yeah, that's right, Nicole.
that was a 12-issue series?
13.
13 issues?
13 issues.
Of course, it's Halloween.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you do 13?
Oh, yeah. Get it? Because 13.
Yeah. So, yeah. It takes place around Batman's very early days.
Oh, I started it the wrong way. I'm so used to reading manga at the moment. Oh, that's the last page. Ooh. Yeah.
So okay. It takes place around Batman's / Bruce Wayne's really early days of crime fighting.
Is this Michael Jackson?
Can I finish? Is that cool? Yeah. And it centers around the holiday killer. That does look like Michael Jackson.
It does look like Michael Jackson. Yeah. Except she's black.
Yeah. It centers around the holiday killer, who everybody thinks who is a Batman fan, they think is Calendar Man.
Is that Calendar Man? Yeah.
No, it isn't Calendar Man. The person murders people once a month on every holiday, and it's basically up to Captain James Gordon.
Okay, it's that far back?
Yeah, it's that far back, and District Attorney Dent.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So it has him trying to stop the holiday killer and also trying to stop the Falcone and Maroni family from going to war. So it's very gritty, very on the level. And it has the Calendar Man in a very, very big role. He knows the identity of the killer, but he's not giving it up to him without a fight. It has all the same villains in it. It has the Riddler, has the Joker, has Scarecrow, Mad Hatter, but they're not doing anything overly big to stop the storyline from running smooth.
Like Hush, where everybody's appearance was an interruption.
Superman, Poison Ivy, and stuff, yeah. Catwoman is Bruce Wayne's semi-quasi-girlfriend.
Like Bruce Wayne's got a semi.
Yeah. Selina Kyle, bro.
She dresses up like a cat, why not?
Oh, she's beautiful in it. You know, it has like, check out this is the one she's wearing.
I'm not going to lie, I thought it was a mouse outfit.
I'd still go for Mouse Woman.
Yeah, has a very old school Catwoman.
She's very tiny. Yeah.
But just to spoil it out there, it turns out that the...
No!
You want to know who it is? The holiday killer is Albert Falcone. It's Robert Falcone. It's Roman Falcone's son, Albert, who is the holiday killer. So it goes on to another couple of issues after this. It goes Haunted Night and Dark Victory. They're not as great, but it has a bit of other villains you don't really see. It's a very, very long read. You probably wouldn't be able to finish that in a day.
Challenge accepted.
Done.
Yeah. All right. I'd love to see you read a Batman novel. No, you don't want to do it?
No, I just mean if someone goes, you can't read this in a certain amount of time. It's like, fuck you.
You probably could, but yeah.
The Joker's face looks so long.
I mean, I'm sorry.
You can't read that haggis in half an hour.
All your ones are like mostly pictures. I'm the only one that's, you know, done mostly books.
Okay, yeah. That Love and Rockets is pretty big. But, yeah, this is definitely one of those sort of underrated ones, but it definitely sparked the Dark Knight in it. So it shows Harvey Dent's transformation by Falcone throwing acid in his face, which is one of the greatest panels ever. It shows the Joker trying to kill people on New Year's Eve and getting foiled by Batman, as it always. Yeah, it's just beautiful artwork. It's beautiful dialogue. It doesn't get boring. The pacing's very well in it. And this is the number one thing
does
I would...
Does it show the Joker dancing down a flight of stairs and pretending to be an incel?
No.
Oh, I get the joke.
Oh, so it's good.
Yeah.
Right, got it.
Nice.
Movie reference.
But yeah, I would definitely recommend this to anybody jumping into the Batman phase who was also a fan of the movies as well.
Did you just call Batman a phase?
You call him Batman phase. And I just want to point out with this too, like Jeff Loeb's writing's pretty on point, but Tim Sale's art in this. When I first saw Tim Sale's art, I thought this guy's like shithouse Jay Lee. But there's something about the dynamics of the figures in what he does that really kicks my ass.
It's very shadowy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Most of the panels are very shadowy, like in corners. And
it's like Jay Lee inked by Mike Mignola.
Hellboy.
Hellboy.
Hellboy. But yeah, I would, like, this is probably one of my top three comic books I'll ever read. Wow. Yeah.
Cool. I mean, I might actually give it a go. It does.
I got some props off something this one.
Yes. All right.
Not my
she's
one.
She's being nice to you because yeah. She thinks she's replacing you.
Not my one, though. You find your own one for $19.99.
Josh, what's your finale?
Fucking Iron Man something.
I don't reckon it will be.
I just want to keep telling Shane that he's wrong.
Yeah, I don't think it's Iron Man.
Didn't do any Marvel because they're not things I've read this year.
I think it might be my hero.
Ding.
I said that on the third.
No, you're wrong. My Hero Academia. Again, we've spoken about it before. I'm up to volume 21. Volume 22 is on order. It's in the mail. I can't wait.
Japanese X-Men
God
is what this is.
Damn it. It's so good. It's so motivational. The story is just so simple, and yet they somehow manage to stem off it so well. Season 4's on Crunchyroll or Anime Lab or however you illegally download whatever you want to do at the moment.
We do things legally here in the Fortress of Nerditude.
I pay my
$7.99. We're superheroes, not super zeros.
Oh. Nice, I like that. Very good. I pay my $7.99 a month to stream some anime because it's as much as I want. But it's so good at the moment. This is something I will finish in an entire sitting, and I fucking hate doing that because as soon as I do, I know I have to wait another month to read the next one. But don't start there if you want to spoil yourself, Shane. and you have to read back to front. But yeah, it's a really fun, creative story. It may not be super original because I don't think there's ever an original idea now.
No.
But at the same time, they give you a classroom full of 20 kids and they say, go to whoever you like. Something I really enjoy about this series now as well, the further they go into the anime and they've developed obviously from the manga, is you don't just get this core character who gets all the spotlight. He's definitely at the center of a lot of the conflict or the problems or the story development throughout.
Deku,
yes. But you then have all these, and I was reading in your book as well, like how to write a good manga. How do you deal with, one of the subheadings was how to deal with sub-characters, like how to deal with your people you introduce. And that's what this manga does really well later on. It's like, shit, we've got a class for all of 20 kids who, some of them have been sidelined for most of the story sort of thing. And now that we're in season 4 and so on, people who have had the limelight earlier on in the story are now getting their time to shine and show what they can do because there's so many different appearances and quirks and
it's such a
personalities.
I think that cosplay culture has a lot to do with this as well because people find that, oh, I like my favorite character in My Hero is Mount Lady.
Because she's sexy.
Not just that, but I think she's funny too. It's like, I like superheroes that are like, hi, I'm a superhero, instead of like, oh, I'm going to hide in the shadows and be all spooky and shit, or I'm deadly or whatever. She's like, hi, I'm a superhero. Follow me on Instagram. Like, she's a total modern-day proper superhero, because that's what a superhero would be like today. Booster Gold and Mount Lady are the two most realistic superheroes, because that's what they'd be like. They would be self-servicing.
Yeah, she's getting in front of the camera, and she's like,
what about the boys?
Boys.
The boys.
The comic.
The comic book.
I don't know if people would be like that if they were superheroes.
But they're very like...
Didn't it to they're very grounded. Like the TV series
yeah,
recently?
On Amazon.
I think
that the self promotion of her and of people like Booster Gold and remember the show Mystery Men?
Oh, I love that. Mm-hmm.
The movie Mystery Men. Yeah, like one of the characters in that. Yep. He actually has his sponsors. He has his sponsors on his.
Yeah,
on
it's his Captain Amazing.
Captain Amazing. Yeah. Like that's what I think that real superheroes would
Pepsi.
Be.
Pepsi.
Like. Well, that's what this is universe is all about. It's billboards of, hey, you don't want to grow up to go to college. You want to go work at this agency for this superhero who is they're all numbered. So it's like number one, number two. And the further you go down the tier listing is how good they are or how many people they've saved. It's based on a rating system. But exactly that. You've got such an appeal and wide array of characters that the cosplay community or whoever can relate to someone. There is somewhere in there that everyone will like in terms of appearance, personality,
yeah,
whatever it be, which is really interesting.
There's an exploration of fan culture in there as well because there's the main character as well as others.
Deku is a he's straight out of fan.
Yeah, but there's like I guess the only other character I've seen do it lately is Kamala Khan, Ms. Marvel. But like even it's almost like they're train spotting. Because it's like you see the superhero and it's like, oh, I'll have to put that in my notebook. I saw this superhero today. I saw number two today or whatever. I saw a number two today. I don't want to talk about it.
we know what you mean. It brings up across a lot of not real world issues in a way. It kind of masks them in a way that it's like we're not directly dealing with X, Y, and Z that we're dealing with in the real world, but like in their universe, how they would deal with it and what would this be solutions and what are the problematics behind doing such a thing. Similar to what they did kind of with Civil War or Civil War 2, if you've read that.
What a fucking what,
yeah.
shit.
So, yeah, stuff like that, which I find interesting. I find the morality of a reason very interesting, which they talk about here as a prime thing, which is really cool. So, really fun one.
I still have to say that the most disgusting thing in the history of comics has to be the concept of becoming a hero. You have to consume a part of your hero to get a part of his powers. What? So, the way that Deku gets his powers, he eats one of All Might's hairs.
Ah, it's just a hair.
Yeah.
He could have said, like...
Well, yeah, like there is. Like, does that mean
drink
that,
my blood or something? Yeah. He's like, it's a prank. We just got him.
How many partners has he accidentally given superpowers to?
True. So like, his laundry person's doing his laundry or something like that. So no.
Oh damn!
You joke about they have explained in the comic how that works. It's they have to eat it. Similar how the Death Note works. You don't just write someone's name down. You have to visualize that, know who you're looking to kill. It's the same way of thinking. All Might has to will that he wants to pass his power onto you, and then you have to accept by...
So obviously some sicko's already gone, what if he's into Bukkake? And right, okay, yeah, now we need to
change. Oh, it didn't work, guys. Yeah. I'm all sticky. Yeah. No, it wouldn't work well.
Oh, God.
Nice try.
Okay, so no hand jobs for All Might.
No, not like that.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think My Hero Academia, and like the fan base obviously says that it's true too. My Hero Academia is probably the freshest and most interesting thing in comics at the moment. Marvel and DC don't know what the fuck they're doing. They're doing stuff like Batman, where it's so much not like Batman anymore, they got no idea. Marvel is desperate to have a Wonder Woman, and so they're just, every week there's a new female superhero comic out, and they can't make any of them stick for some reason. And these guys are just like, oh, here's Froppy, and everybody loves her. Or here's whoever else, and everybody just loves those characters.
I'm really trying to stay current with comics, but exactly that. There's just a lull at the moment, and manga's scratching that itch. It's doing what it's meant to be. So
the only comic that I'm actively really liking at the moment is Lois Lane. And it's got no superpowers, and it's just a good political intrigue comic. Like, how the fuck does that happen? You know, I'm reading comics from the world's oldest superhero company, and the best that they can do is a story about a girl who's a journalist, a woman who's a journalist. Like, you're making some mistakes, fellas. Yeah, good choice, Josh.
Got it.
Yeah, nice. All I know about Hero Academia is the 50 million Deku pops that we have at work.
Yeah.
There's oh, look, he's in a slightly different pose. Oh, look, he's changed his top.
His All Might glow in the dark. His All Might not glow in the dark. His All Might glittering and glowing.
That's the thing. There's so many characters introduced into this universe as well. I'm surprised they haven't just started running out all these other characters.
Please don't give them ideas.
Well, interestingly, Ben Presto, who do the Dragon Ball figures, they've almost got them coming out almost every 2 or 3 months now.
Well, Mountain Lady as well. They're not doing her in a standard size. They're only doing her in a big size.
Inch. Yeah, which is.
Because that's her pops. Yeah, because like that's her standard size.
Yeah,
but then they're gonna do a big. They'll probably do a big 10-inch one as well. Because
yeah, they will.
Okay.
19-inch Batman. Yeah, 19 inches
of Batman. I'll take it. I'll take it all.
All 19 inches.
That's it.
That'll be a long Halloween for you.
Yeah. So Nicole, what's your last one for us?
Not actually a book. So.
What the fuck is going on here?
I know.
Everyone's breaking the rules.
Yeah. No, mine is actually an audio drama podcast that I'm addicted to. So,
well, we love podcasts here at the Nerds
of Oz
podcast.
Yeah. No, so it's actually 10 years old. So I only discovered it a couple of years ago, but I swear I give it a listen like once a year because I vaguely forget what happens in it.
Cool.
So it came out in like 2009 by Wayland Productions, and it's called We're Alive, A Story of Survival, and it's zombie apocalypse style. But it's not like straight up zombies. Like there's different. It's like mutation kind of things. Okay, cool. I haven't actually listened to it. I feel this year, so I can't remember the specifics.
Well, you've still got 3 weeks.
I know. It's like 30 or 40 episodes long. Each episode is broken into 3 20-minute chunks. So each episode is basically an hour, but 20-minute chunks. So it's quite good. It's like set in like downtown LA, and it starts off with like these military guys. At their base when everything goes down, and they end up taking over like an apartment tower where one of them lives, and sort of they end up kind of like bringing in a bunch of different characters to survive and everything. So they've got on one front they've got all the mutant zombie kind of things, and on the other front they've got some prisoners that have broken out of their prison. Ooh. And they're kind of like the human enemies of it. So okay, cool. Yeah, no, it's really, and like the thing that gets me is it's like half narration, so them like sort of like just saying what's happening and whatnot, half like them, you know, them having conversations and talking, and then all of the rest of it is filled in by the audio and sound effects of what's happening.
Cool.
So it's so fucking immersive that you're walking down the street or you're sitting on the truck and you hear all these explosions happening in your ears, or just like the crunch of like gravel under someone's foot. Like the effort that has gone into the production of it is so goddamn good. It's ruined any other audio drama for me. Like, I listened to it, and I mean, it was like, I need to find more. I need to scour the internet for things that are similar. I could not find a single thing that matched my expectations that this podcast gave me.
Wow.
So finally, they, like, 10 years later have done, a little while ago they did a sequel-y kind of one called Lockdown. I haven't quite listened to that one, but this year they came out with Gold Rush, which is set a good decade or something after We're Alive, and it's kind of like, the same rough, like some of the same characters from it, and then because it's set so many years after the original ones, it's got some of their kids and next generation kind of people that are going out and doing supply runs and stuff like that, and that's in cool. training to be part of their like militia.
It's interesting that when that came out, that was like when the big zombie rush was happening.
Yeah.
That was sort of post Dawn of the Dead remake and around the time of George Romero doing his sequels and stuff like that. So it's interesting that should come out.
Well, they I was reading just then that they tried to, like, they originally tried to have it, like, picked up as a TV show or something, and then no one would have a bar of it. So then, fine, we'll just do it as an audio thing. Yeah. And I don't think it would work. I mean, it would still be interesting to watch, but I'm kind of really glad that it's an audio drama because it's a different type of medium than what you could already get out there with zombie fiction and whatnot. So the fact that it is so immersive with the sound effects and the conversations plus the narration, it flows really, really well.
Had you listened to many audio dramas before that?
No, I don't think I'd listened to a single one.
You guys ever listened to audio dramas?
Isn't it like War of the Worlds? Wasn't that
that was essentially an audio drama. I mean,
are you talking about like the Superman like
radio show? Radio serials?
You hear
stuff
like the train going? Yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, yes, I have then.
I
yeah.
Being the further the along in the years is what I, the old fucker that I am.
The Page Master.
Do you remember that movie? That was so good.
It's on Disney Plus.
When I was growing up, because we didn't have video, we didn't have VHS, the way that you'd get to relive.
There was no colour then, right?
There was no colour then, no. Everything was in black and white.
Yeah.
But you'd get records that had, like, the audio dramas of movies. So you'd get, like, I've still got a stack of them. I've even got, like, the somewhere here I've got, like, the entire ride of the Haunted Mansion at Disney as an audio drama. So you can,
that's cool.
You can put it on and listen to the guide through the Haunted Mansion. So I've always loved audio drama. But there's a company in the UK called Big Finish, and they do Doctor Who stories. No, not happy ending, Big Finish. and they do, still today, they do audio dramas and all Doctor Who based. And sometimes it'll be like, oh, we'll get Tom Baker back. Even though he's 80-something now, we can still do a young adventure of that Tom Baker's Doctor and stuff like that. Awesome. I've got every record store day about four audio adventures of Doctor Who come out.
Nice.
I've got them all here somewhere. But, yeah, I'm a huge fan of audio dramas.
Nice.
Yeah, that's cool. I'll have to...
Yeah, I'll send it to you.
Yeah, yeah, I'll like to listen to that. Yes. Definitely like to listen to that.
I'm going to do a new listen through now.
So, while we're talking about zombies, here's my last one.
Hey, timed out perfectly.
Rob Zombies, no.
Yes.
Although Rob Zombie's comic, The Nail, is pretty fucking special.
It's good.
This is book one of Image Comics' The Walking Dead.
Must be so good that you haven't opened it.
He's opened it.
Oh, okay, you opened that one. It's I'm looking so at the other shiny. One.
There's 19 volumes of it that I haven't opened all of them.
Do you have all of them?
I have all 19 volumes, yeah. So, Walking Dead finished, what, mid this year, was it?
Right, so they've actually wrapped it up. I heard they were going finished.
Oh, it's damn. Done. It's no, sorry, the TV show, or do you mean the comic?
No, the comics.
Yeah, you told me about the comics.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, the TV show is not going to last much longer, I reckon. No. It's dying.
They hilariously did this thing. Well, Robert Kirkman hilariously did this thing with Diamond where he...
It's the previews, yeah?
Yeah, Previews magazine, which comes out and tells you what comics are coming out.
Yeah.
He had covers for issues past the one that was the final issue and didn't tell the retailers until 2 weeks before it came out that 193 was the last issue and the other orders that they'd done would not be fulfilled because the comic does not exist.
Tick tease.
Wow.
Yeah, massive prick tease. Huge prick tease. The cool thing about The Walking Dead being a good present for nerds is that the first thing is there's 193 issues and nothing else. So you have a complete story. It's not so much character driven like most comics. It's a story.
Yeah.
So it's like Watchmen or something like that. This tells this story. It's available in not just the individual issues of the comic, but which you can collect, and it will cost you thousands of dollars to collect them. It's available in three formats. Softcover trade paperbacks, which keep about six issues per one, and there's about 32 of those. There is eight omnibuses, which are like phone books.
Oh. They're the big ones.
Do you guys know what phone books are?
I know what omnibuses are.
Do you guys have phone books?
Yeah, you stand on them to see over the fences and stuff.
Yeah.
But you throw them at people.
I can rip one in half.
Wow.
So there's eight omnibuses, or there is 19 hardcover versions.
Did you pop that recently? That cover?
No, as much as they're probably new. Better value, I feel like they're just smells too new. Big to read. They're too big to carry around.
Okay, I'll tell you the interesting thing. These are not a bedtime read. I swear to God, I've almost broken my nose five or six times by reading that in bed.
While holding it, doing the...
Oh, motherfucker, my nose!
Oh, I've done that with my phone so much. I've just been watching something and then half fallen asleep. And then
something. What? Pornhub.
Oh.
We don't judge here.
Yeah, exactly. You can watch the most Pornhub
as you like. Nat and I actually met Tony Moore at Supernova.
Oh, they're going to say it like porn.
Nat and I have something on Pornhub.
Yeah. Yeah. He actually
check us out.
He actually drew Nat a, because she loved the Walking Dead series, like in comics. She doesn't like the show. But he actually drew her like a little walker.
Nice.
Like in her first edition.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's cool.
The reason I love these hardcovers so much is because they are a really nice collector's edition.
Artworks are beautiful.
They're a good emergency weapon.
Yeah, true. Yeah. True. Yeah.
How much were they roughly for the whole set?
$40 a pop, yeah.
How much?
No, they got to be more than that.
No, they were like 65.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Oh.
You want to buy them when they're on air, 20% off or something?
Yeah. I bought them as they came out. Oofed.
Paid full price.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, I've got every single art of Marvel movies in there, and they started at $50 and then now $100 each.
Yeah, I know. I've got those. That's my big claim to fame for those ones.
Yeah. Fucking bullshit little prices that they've gone up to. But, I mean, it's an amazing story. It unfortunately, Kirkman stole the idea from the beginning of how Grimes ends up in the situation of not knowing what it is, what the zombie apocalypse is. He stole it from 28 Days Later, who stole it from The Day of the Triffids, the John Wyndham novel from the 50s. So, but it's a good way to introduce you to a new world, to have somebody wake up and find that they're in this new world, and so everything that they need to learn about, you get to learn along with them.
Well, you're learning with That's them, cool. Yeah.
So it's a good way to
do it. It feels like it's not dumbing it down for the audience. It's like...
Yeah.
My whole thing with the whole Walking Dead is that in the show, I don't know about, like, I've only read a few of the comic books, but apparently zombies or walkers don't exist in this universe. Like, everything movie related.
Yeah, that's it. Like, they don't call them zombies because zombies aren't a thing.
It is so annoying, the fact that Dawn of the Dead, Night of the Living Dead, anything like that is moot in that universe.
I guess, though, it does avoid having a stupid storyline where somebody goes, you know, like in that movie Night of the Living Dead.
Just I want them to say it. I'm like, hey, maybe we should do this. They got no idea what they're doing against these people.
Yeah.
Like, that's all I want. I want them to just to pay homage to something. Be like,
takes
hey.
Them forever to figure
but
out
if they had a solution in one of those shows, and it's like, well, why aren't we just doing this? And it's like,
no, it can never be really a solution in it. Like, Zombieland didn't have a solution, but they still called, like, they still said stuff.
Zombies.
They still said zombies, and they still made reference back to the movies. Yeah.
Or just ignore the existence of Zombieland.
I mean, realistically, they're not zombies. Like, they're
walkers.
Yeah, because zombies actually indicate, like, zombies aren't dead people. They're people who are being controlled. But zombies has just sort of become the easy vernacular for the Walking Dead. I mean, none of George Romero's zombie movies have the word zombie in them. Night of the Living Dead, Dawn of the Dead, Day of the Dead, Diary of the Dead, Survival of the Dead.
They're alive.
Land of the Dead. You know, like...
They're all dead.
Day of
they're
the Dead.
They're all dead. They're dead. Them bitches dead. But yeah, I think Walking Dead is one of those things that it proves that... what's his name? Will Portacio is the smartest fucking man in comics because he was the one that said yes to this. Interesting story about The Walking Dead. There's a documentary about Image Comics, and it comes from that. And he was told by Robert Kirkman. Robert Kirkman went to him and said, I want to create a zombie comic. And Portacio said, no, zombies aren't in, mate. Not going to do it. Your comic will be shit. We do not want to publish that. And thinking on his feet, he's gone, by issue 8, we find out that the reason that there's zombies is because it's an alien invasion. And Portacio's gone, done, let's do it. Let's publish that shit. Let's publish that shit right now. And so, will you get my microphone off that? It got to like issue 17.
The aliens never came.
Where are the aliens? And Kirkman was like, yeah, I might have lied about that. But you've got a comic that every single month is doubling in sales. Do you want me to put aliens in it now? And Portacio was like, no, let's leave it the way it is because this is taken image.
It's better if you don't know what the cause is sometimes.
Yeah. Prior to The Walking Dead, the three big comic companies were Marvel, DC, and Dark Horse. Because they had Star Wars, they had Alien, they had Predator, they had that sort of stuff. This Dark Horse who...
Yeah, because Image off this, you know, you got Saga and all that. Like, that
they
Saga
started like, taking the risks that they started taking risks that they weren't prepared to take before that.
Yeah. Well, so, that's going to be one of the first, like, comic books in the sort of 21st century from, like, a single issue standpoint. You know, the first issue was, like, $3.99 off the shelf. You know, you have a first printing $3.99, one off the shelf, goes for about $8,000 now off a Walking Dead number.
Even the second and third printing go for hundreds of dollars rather than... Like, second or third printings of something from Marvel, it's like it's toilet paper.
Yeah.
By the time you get to a third printing, you're just wiping your ass with it when you finish watching it because it's not worth shit.
I can only think of a couple of DC ones that are first printings, like The Damned.
Tragically, DC comics don't get to second and third printings very often.
Yeah. Well, you have
Unless they've got Harley Quinn in it.
Well, you got Damned. That's the one where you have Bat Dick.
Batawang.
Yeah, Batawang. So, yeah, unless you bought the first printing of that one, you're not really having much in DC at the moment.
So you're basically paying for Dick.
Yeah.
Mm.
Cool.
Been there. Yeah, so I think that if you're thinking of stuff that you want to buy your nerdy friends, I think that everything that we have named here is a good start, and the idea of the podcast is a good thing to introduce to somebody who's a zombie fan that might be looking for something outside of it.
A lot of people commute as well.
It's been a lifesaver on trains.
Mm.
What's your commute like?
40 minutes?
AirPods?
No. Sold out.
Sold out.
Over ears.
Yeah.
You're a can person, aren't you?
I'm a what now?
Cans. You like
AirPods? Yeah, like No. I've just got like Apple earphones right now because they came with my phone and Rock I was too poor at the time.
Bro.
No, AirPods headphones suck. Are really because like with the glasses, they kind of like press.
Bullshit, I've got glasses on.
I know. Why am I worse? They're like pressing my glasses into your the delicate side head's of my
being
head.
Squished, aren't yeah. they? So are these hurting you, are they?
No, a little bit. I just have to adjust them every now and then. So I think I just
I bought them new just for you.
Oh, thank you.
Never again. Never again. Cool. So I think we're done for this episode.
Yeah. We hadn't really figured out the wrap up there. We're just kind of
no. It just sort of stopped, didn't it?
Yeah.
So basically, our next episode, we're going to do
Halloween movies.
Favorite Christmas movies.
Oh. Ooh.
Are you off? Are you available? Fridays?
What Friday? I'm available Fridays. Just what day you gotta?
Oh, we'll talk about it after we finish.
Not when we're on air.
So Nicole might be back for the next episode.
Because Shane's going on another cruise.
He's a bigger cruiser than Al Pacino in that movie. What was it called? Cruising.
Yeah.
You've never seen Cruising?
No.
Oh my.
Speed 2 Electric Boogaloo.
God. Yeah. We need to get you to see Cruising.
Okay.
We need a movie day.
So if we can get you back, Nicole, we will.
Yes.
Otherwise, the three of us in the next episode are going to talk about our favorite Christmas films. Because Christmas is this month, so we may as well.
No.
We all sound so enthusiastic.
Oh, I always love how people go, 36 days till Christmas. Like, no, bitch, I work in retail. Christmas is now.
Yeah, it's happening right now.
Christmas starts on the 17th of November.
Yeah. Me or my staff member walked in yesterday. I was like, oh, thank God, just dump your stuff and please start. Like, save me.
The whole time we've been on here, I've been watching one of my staff members sending me texts going, can I help this person on for a little bit longer? We're really busy. So, sorry, Jackie.
I've got to put my roster out.
Yeah, you should probably do that. Well, thanks for listening. Shane, where can we find you?
Batfleck44 on Instagram.
Josh, where can we find you?
Hi, Sauceless White Boy on Instagram.
Sauceless. Nicole?
Lang of the Ridge at Instagram, but it's mostly just photos of my cat at this point.
Yay. Oh, you got some of your travel stuff too, though.
I got my travel stuff, yeah. So and then just adorable photos of my kitten.
I'm going to have to start following you now.
Hey.
Yay.
And for the Nerds of Oz podcast, you can follow us at Instagram at The Nerds of Oz or on Twitter at The Nerds of Oz. If you want on Twitter, give us a heads up and tell us what your favourite Christmas movie is. And
one last crack.
It might spark us to think of. We've been talking about what Christmas movies we like already, and it's
the number one is the one we were talking about before.
Yeah.
Before Nicole got here.
Yeah, gotta love those horrible Netflix Christmas movies, though.
The ones on Disney Plus aren't that much great either.
No, like the Noel with Anna Kendrick. Yeah. Oh,
Anna Kendrick's in a movie.
Yeah.
Apparently it's really good and I watched it.
It's on Pornhub.
Really?
WWW. Where's my VR helmet? I've got to take care of some business, guys.
I don't know if I'm brave enough to try a Noelle. It's just too cringeworthy. There's a new Vanessa Hudgens one as well.
I'm going
to
go look up a bunch of shit.
I like Vanessa Hudgens. I know. Vanessa Hudgens and Spring Breakers.
Oh, Vanessa Hudgens and anything.
Anything's a Christmas
high
movie.
High School Musical.
I love Vanessa Hudgens. She could do no wrong.
Kirby ruined High School Musical when she said Zac Efron was not singing.
It's true. Not in the first one.
Fuck.
No, it's kind of, it's part of his voice, but it's mixed in with a guy called Drew Seeley.
I don't care about Drew Seeley.
But Drew Seeley can go fuck himself.
Drew
really go fuck yourself.
And that's special, a wrap, guys.
Special like, guest on the next episode, Drew Seeley. Okay, thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the next episode. Bye, y'all.
Bye.
Bye.